Amen. No greater blessing you can know than to know that when you close your eyes in death, that it's not the end, it's just the beginning. Amen. That's why so many people have so much trouble coping and dealing with the things that happen in life. You know, life happens. And generally, in everybody's life, sometime along the way, something gets thrown your way that you just didn't see coming. You didn't know it was going to happen. And you find yourself in a place where you say, man, how did I get here? Why did I get here? When did I get here? And you wonder what it's all about. It's because God's put you where you are for His purpose, for His reason, and in His time. And the thing of it is, when you're prepared to be where God wants you to be, wherever you find yourself, it's not a place where you have to fear being. Amen? Turn in your Bibles tonight into Genesis chapter 22. Knowing Christ is my Savior, I don't have to fear whatever happens and whatever transpires in my life. As long as I'm where God wants me to be, I'm in the best place I could be. Amen? But being where God wants me, David was in the safest place he could be when he was in the valley of Elah, standing looking at the giant. Amen? Jonah was in the best place he could be when he was in the belly of the whale. It brought him to repentance. Amen. You see, when we're wherever God wants us to be, Paul was in prison. He didn't lament the fact that he was in prison. His epistles written to the churches, many of them were written from prison, telling how faithful and how good God is and how God had blessed him. Remember those that are in the hospital. We got up to visit with them today. And you know, it's hard to see those you love and those you care about going through the things that they got to go through in the flesh. But it's easier when you know that they have their complete confidence and trust in Jesus. Pray for Ruth Wiggins. She's having a real struggle. She's, for those who don't know Ruth Ann, she comes in, she sits all the way in the back sometimes. She's got an oxygen bottle with her, and her emphysema and stuff is getting real bad, and sometimes it's hard to breathe, and it scares her. And she's dealing with a lot of anxiety. And she's praying to God every day. She's trusting God, she said, but it's still scary. And it still makes me afraid, and I still get anxiety. And they're taking her from the hospital probably today to back to nursing home. So remember her, remember Brother Stanley, as he's feeling better from the flu. He had the flu and pneumonia on top of that, fell and fractured his spine, and he's in a lot of pain. And they're going to put him in a rehab center. George, they're getting ready to transfer him either home or to rehab, not sure. The rehabs, the nursing homes are on lockdown because of the flu. Many of them have had the flu so bad, the one they were going to send him to was locked down. He couldn't get in. And the other one that they were thinking about sending him to has just come down off a lockdown because of the flu. And I think Brother Stanley, they're going to run into this when they're trying to place him. So be much in prayer for these folks. But all of them are in the place that they're at this time, according to God's providence. Amen? God could have willed it that they didn't get sick. God could have willed it that he didn't be there. But he brings us to places in our lives to help us to trust him even more. That's where Abraham is right here in chapter 22 of Genesis. In verse number 1, it said, "And it came to pass after these things, that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am." I want you to mark that word. or that phrase there, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham arose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes, and he saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, mark this phrase. He said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, and said, and it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Help us, Lord, to see the place where you brought us each to, God, and to take that place, Lord, and use it in our hearts and lives, Lord, to show you and to show to the world, Father, that you mean more to us than anything that this world has offered us, anything that this world can give us. It means more to us than all the blessings that you bestow upon us. And Father, help us, God, to do what's pleasing unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. In verse number 1, as God calls for Abraham, Abraham says, here I am. Did you catch that? In the three places I told you to mark Abraham's response. In his first place, Abraham says, here I am. And I wonder, why was his answer so different here than it is in the other two places? What is so significant about this? And I began to study and I began to look in my commentaries, and you know, nobody has a stinking thing to say about it. And I wonder why it is so different. What is so significant about it? It's markedly different. Here I am, and here am I. One is a cry of authority, of assurity, of being where he's at. And I believe the other one is the response of uncertainty, the response of a doubt or a question, unsureness. Four times in the Bible we find that phrase, here I am, as it's written, and they're all located in the Old Testament. They are all signifying the place when someone is answering in the affirmative of being assured of where they're at. The first is here in Genesis 22 and verse number 1, as Abraham is responding to God. He's assured of his position. He's assured of his place. Abraham is where God has brought him to. Abraham is where God has directed him to. God has brought Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, Assyrian, chosen by God to be called out and to be separated from the rest of his people, that God might to him bless the rest of the world. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 3, this phrase is used once again as Samuel is addressing Israel. Samuel's now an old man, and he reminds them that since a child he has served God before them, and now they have chosen unto themselves a king, and they wanted a king. And Samuel challenges them to lay any accusations against them. It's a response of authority. And he says, and today, here I am, if anybody has anything to say. Abraham is sure of being where God wants him to be. Samuel answers or responds to Israel, to the crowd as he is addressing them. Here I am today. If anybody has anything, any accusations, any claims to make against me, here I am. I'm standing authoritatively, realizing and knowing that I have served God before you faithfully. And then we have the incident where King Saul finds out that David has went by to visit the priest. And he gets the priest to give him the showbread and to give him the sword of Goliath. And now the priest is called before Saul to give an answer, to give an account, because Doeg has ratted him out. Doeg has told Saul, well, I've seen the priest give assistance to your enemy, when indeed the only thing that the priest has done, Ahitub was his name, the only thing that he did was try to assist who he thought was God's man. David told Ahitub, I'm on the king's business and I had to leave urgently, and I brought no weapons or no food with me, and we need something right now. And he said, I had the sword of Goliath, and all I have is the showbread that we've taken off of the altar today. David said, that'll do. He was just trying to sustain the king's ambassador, the king's servant. And now he's called into question for his actions, and he stands authoritatively and he answers authoritatively, because he knows he's done no wrong. He knows he's brought no hurt. He knows in his life and in his heart that the things that he's done were only those things that would benefit the king, as far as he knew. And he says, here I am. Saul says, Ahitub. He says, here I am. And Saul begins to lay out the accusations that Doeg has made against him. But Ahitub can stand authoritatively, knowing that in his heart and in his life, he has done no wrong. He's in the place where he should be spiritually as the man of God. And then the last place we find this phrase used is in Isaiah chapter number 58, verse number 9. And God is expressing to his people through his prophet Isaiah that if they will call upon him repentantly, he will answer them. He will be there for them. He will authoritatively hear their cry and let them know that he's there. He said, when you call upon me, he said, I will say, here I am. Isn't it good to know that we got a God that is in authority, a God that is in control, and a God that will answer us when we call upon him? when our hearts are repentant, when our hearts are turned toward Him. All these individuals, God and these men, were answering with this phrase that gives authority to where they're at. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. They knew where they were at. They knew where they stood. And sometimes in our lives, we're in the places where we think we got everything figured out. Where we're in the place where we can say with authority, man, here I am, right where God has placed me. Here I am, right in the midst of the land that God has said He's going to give to my descendants, or where God is going to pour His blessings out upon me, where God is going to do all these things. Here I am. I'm serving God, and what else could anybody want from anyone? Here I am, right where God has said I should be. I dress like He says I should dress. I talk like He says I should talk. I look like He says I should look. I act like He says I should act. I'm everything that any church could want an individual to be. Here I am, God. Here I am, right where You want me to be. Here I am, right where Your Word has brought me to. We speak with authority because we're confident in where we're at. But the problem with getting too confident with where we're at is you never know when God's going to ask you to move. Amen? You never know when God's going to change the place that you're at. You see, we all come to places in our lives and we get comfortable in the place. We get troubled in the place. We get our lives in turmoil in the place. But yet we come to these places. Abraham is in the place where he's at because he's where God had told him to be. Abraham was in his hometown of Ur. And God told him, said, leave Ur and go to this place that you've never been to. Leave Ur and go to this place that I'm going to show you. And I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants. And I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless your descendants. I'm going to bless the whole world through you. See, Abraham was right where God told him to be. He was in a place of God's choosing, a place of God's directing. Sometimes we find ourselves in places that we're in by the actions of others. Amen? We didn't want to be there. We didn't volunteer to go there. We didn't choose to be there, but we found ourselves there because of what someone else has done. Look at Joseph, for example. Joseph was just doing what his daddy told him to go do. Go check on your brothers. Go see how everything's going and let me know if everything's all right. It had probably been a while since Jacob had seen the boys. Amen? That they're out tending to the sheep. They're out on the pasture. They're out on the back range. And it might be weeks or months that they may be out there feeding the cattle or feeding the sheep and feeding the herds. And God sends Joseph out to check on what's going on. And the next thing Joseph knows, he's a slave in Potiphar's house. The next thing he knows, he's in the prison house. And the next thing he knows, praise God, he's wound up at the palace house. Amen. It was no accident that Joseph was there. But he didn't get there because he volunteered to go there. Jeremiah found himself in a place where nobody wanted to hear what he had to say. Nobody wanted to hear the truth of what God was preaching and what God was teaching and what God was telling them, that they rejected what God had said. And he found himself at one point thrown into the pit of muck and mire, and he sunk to his waist. And I believe had they not got him out of there soon, he would have been consumed by the mire. Jeremiah got distraught at times, and he said, I decided that I wasn't even going to speak these words anymore. I wasn't going to say this stuff anymore, but I couldn't keep it within myself. It was like a fire shut up in my bones. And I had to speak up. I had to say what is true. And friends, yeah, I'm going to tell you, as a pastor, I'm going to always strive to tell you the truth. It's not always what you want to hear. It's not a popular message anymore. Amen? It's not what people are looking for anymore. But it's what we need. Amen? And you might throw me out. It won't be my choice unless God leads me out. Amen? Many, many men of God have found themselves in a place they never thought they would be, simply for telling the truth as God had given it to them. Daniel finds himself in the lion's den because of a group of jealous peers. They were jealous over Daniel, jealous over the authority that had been given to him, jealous over what God had done through him and with him and for him and for the king. And now he's finding himself spending the night with the lions. Daniel didn't volunteer to go there, but he found himself there. And oh, as we see these places where these men have found themselves, and we realize they didn't choose to go there, look at how God has used their examples as teaching moments in our lives. Think about the Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Think about Paul and Silas in Philippi as they're cast in prison. Think about all these things and the places that we go to. Sometimes we find ourselves in a place simply by our own action or inactions. Look at Cain as he was outcast. He was made a vagabond. God sent him away. Why? Because of his sin. Because he had murdered his brother. Because of his own actions. He found himself in a place that he said his punishment was harder than what he could bear. Have you ever been there? Have you ever got to a place in your life where you thought it was unbearable, and you look back and you realize that the only reason that you had made it to this place was because of your own action, because of the things that you had done in your life? The things that maybe you had said, an action that you took some way, you found yourself there. Samson found himself blinded, grinding wheat for the Philistines in place of a beast of burden because of his own actions. He allowed his lust to override his reason, and he opened his mouth about things that he should never have said, and it cost him dearly. It brought him to a place that he never thought it mine. He was the man that pulled the city gates down. He was the man that slew 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. He was the man that they couldn't bind and keep bound with anything that they could find. And now he was chained to the millstone to grind the mill. Saul lost his peace of mind because of his disobedience to what God had told him to do, and an evil spirit from the Lord. See, he didn't have to go anywhere. Amen. He didn't have to find himself in prison somewhere. He didn't have to find himself hauled off somewhere. He just found himself in a place where he was uncomfortable with what was going on. See, we find ourselves in places. But can we say with authority we're in the place where God wants us to be? Can we say, here I am? Oh, whenever I was hunting for Adam the other night, he was over at the house working, and I went in the house for something to come back out, and he wasn't in the barn. I'm looking around, where'd you? Adam! Adam, where art thou? I don't know, did you hear me? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I'm calling for him. I'm looking for him. See, God came to Adam in the garden. Adam hadn't went nowhere. Amen. He just hid himself right there because he was ashamed. Sometimes we don't have to go anywhere to be somewhere. You know, people in the drug culture, they used to talk about taking a trip and never leaving the place. Amen. Some way spiritually, we find ourselves in that same place. We go somewhere, we find ourselves in a place spiritually where we don't want to be. Adam didn't speak authoritatively knowing that he was where God wanted him to be. He was where God had placed him. Well, I was hiding myself. I'm not too assured. Friends, what we need to make sure that the place that we find ourselves in, I'm not talking about the place where you was 5 years ago. I'm not talking the place where you was last weekend where when Dale Vance and Kenny Baldwin was preaching. I'm not talking about that place. I'm talking about the place where you are right now, the place where you are today. Can you say with authority, I'm in the place that God wants me to be. I'm right where God wants me to be, doing what God wants me to do. Abraham had some problems along the way. Amen. He got down into Egypt and he lied about Sarah, his wife. He lived before Abimelech, the Amorite, and he lied about Sarah, his wife. He found himself sometimes not where God wanted him to be, but God kept pointing him. God kept directing him. God kept leading him to the place where he needed to be. And when Abraham finally got to where God wanted him to be, God blessed Abraham's life, and he allowed him to have this child that God had promised him, not according to the flesh as he tried to do, but according to the promises God had made it mentioned. He wasn't talking about the child that he had with the slave girl, the bond woman. He wasn't talking about that child. He was talking about the child that he had with his wife, and God had brought that to pass, Sarah, in her old age. Abraham has a child in his old age. Man, everything that God has said is going to happen has happened. He's given me peace in this land. He's given me this place. Man, it's all spread out before me. I'm happy. Everything is just as good as God said it was going to be. God says, Abraham, Abraham, here I am. Here I am. Abraham, I want you to go. I want you to go to a place that's going to pit you against everything that I've ever given you, everything that I've ever done for you. And Abraham doesn't hesitate. God says, I want you to take your only son Isaac and offer him for a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice to the Lord. You know what that means? I want you to kill I want you to kill this child that you've waited so long for. I want you to kill this child that I have promised you and I've given you. I want you to kill him, and I want you to offer him a burnt sacrifice. You're not even going to have the body left to mourn over and to cry over and to go to and to lament about. I want you to offer him for a burnt sacrifice. In verses 3 to 8, we see Abraham's journey. In verse 4, it says, "And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and he saw the place afar off." You see, the place of tempting didn't just come when Abraham got there. It come all the way in the journey. God could have told Abraham, "Abraham, I want you to get up in the morning, and I want you to offer your son Isaac as a sacrifice for me. I want you to build an altar first thing in the morning, lay the wood on it. I want you to plunge the knife into his heart and kill him and lay him out on the altar and burn him for a sacrifice." That would have been so much easier than what Abraham had to do. He says, "I want you to go to the place that I'm going to show you." For 3 days, Abraham, for 3 days, his son, his only son, whom he loved, is walking along beside him. For 3 days, Abraham gets to look at this boy. For 3 days, Abraham gets to look at this son whom God had given him in his old age. For 3 days, Abraham looks at this blessing that God had poured out upon him, and he knows that he's going to come to the place where he's going to have to make the decision if he's going to follow through with what God has told him to do. But for 3 days, think about this, for 3 days, he's got to contemplate. And that's the way we are in our life. God brings us to places. And God sends us to places. And God directs us to places we don't really want to know about. He directs our relationships, and he brings us to another place in a relationship. You hear young people, and they get... young kids, they get in their first relationship. "Oh, I just love him. I just love her." 10 years down the road, they can't even remember his or her first name. Amen? It's the truth. "Oh, I just love him. He's so cute. Oh, man, he. Who? Who? We come to these places where God directs us, and we got to be willing to trust that God knows what's best. We walk through this life, and God brings us from place to place. God brings us to places where we have satisfaction in knowing where God wants us to be. But then God tells us things are going to change up a little bit. You're still going to dwell there. You're still going to be there. But I got something else for you to do while you are there. Are you willing to surrender to what God wants you to do? Or are you willing to hear his word and to let his word always ring in the back of your mind as you're going through your life of where he's leading you, where he's directing you, and what he's going to bring you through and bring you to and bring victory in your life from? Abraham's got 3 days as he's on this journey to get to the place. Well, it don't say it's just 3 days again. It says on the third day he saw the place. It might have been another day or two's journey. We don't know how far. Hey, man, I've seen them Alps mountains over there in the Mediterranean. I was out in the Mediterranean, middle of the Mediterranean Sea, and you could look up and see the Alps Mountains. And I asked somebody on our ship one time, I said, how far do you think they are away? 50 miles or so? He said, no, they're 200 or 300 miles. And you could see, I mean, they just stuck up. I don't know if it was 200 or 300. I'm just going by what some officer said it. It had to be true. You know, they were educated. But it's just amazing. You know, you see them afar off. And we see the goal that God has given us afar off, but we got to contemplate. Am I going to go there? Am I going to deal there? Am I going to get to the place where God wants me to be? Am I going to do what God wants me to do? God says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Some people say, well, I'm just going to go with my heart. But God says, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. Abraham, here I am. Abraham, I want you to go to the place that I'm going to show you, and I want you to offer your son, your only son, Isaac, for a burnt offering, a burnt sacrifice unto me. Okay, Lord. Can you imagine the closer he got to Mount Moriah, the heavier the burden become, the heavier the load weight. You know, trying to do what's right in your life, trying to find yourself in the place. And young people, let me get over here and just preach to you a little bit. Trying to get to where God wants you to be in your life. Sometimes it's the hardest thing you're ever going to have to deal with. Making the decisions on who am I going to marry? Who am I going to date? Am I going to go to college? Am I going to go to school? Well, what career am I going to have? What am I going to do? All those things God will direct in your life if you'll let him. But it's not always easy getting to where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. It's going to cost you a lot on the way. And the more time you think about it, the more time you count the cost. It's going to cost you some friendships to be where God wants you to be. It's going to cost you some relationships. Moms and dads can tell you sometimes it'll cost you a job. It'll cost you a promotion. It'll cost you a position. And the more that you contemplate and the more that you weigh what God is doing and what God is demanding of you and what God is requiring of you, the harder and the heavier the load becomes and the closer you get to meeting a goal or meeting a deadline or meeting a place where you are to be in your life head on. The load gets heavier. Young ladies, young men, one day you're going to want a spouse. You're looking for someone to be your soulmate. And you know what? When you go searching for that soulmate and searching for that right soulmate, amen, it can seem like you're never going to find him or her. And the weight can get heavy. The load can seem unbearable. But trust me, it's worth waiting. It's worth holding on for. Mom and Dad, when our kids aren't everything that we was hoping they were going to be when they were little, you know, we all have aspirations of what our kids are going to be. They're all going to be doctors and lawyers and engineers and, you know, and you find out they're just regular Joes like we are. Amen. But they're not through yet. God's not done with them yet. I knew a lady that wouldn't let her daughter date a young man because he was aspiring to be a plumber. My daughter ain't marrying no plumber. My daughter ain't dating no plumber. I ain't having my daughter messing around with no plumber. Well, this plumber's a superintendent of a company now that probably makes $150,000, $200,000 a year. Has whatever he wants to have. He spoils his family with whatever they want. But see, sometimes we get in the way of God's plans. Amen? We get in the way of what God wants to do. God brings us to a place to see if we're going to be obedient unto him. And you know, had she prayed and really saw God, and I believe her daughter really loved this young man. And I'm going to say this, and please don't take it the wrong way. I mean, it wasn't like she was a beauty queen. Okay? The young man could have about any lady that he really wanted. But he loved this girl. And this girl loved him. But see, mom and dad wasn't willing to wait. Mom and dad wasn't willing to let God's will be fulfilled and let God's plan be fulfilled. Now, she's married to a UPS truck driver. You know? Which, it's an honorable job, honorable profession. But she settled for an Ishmael. Her parents had her settle for an Ishmael. Well, her parents, after they ruined everything... I'll just put it this way. After they got in the midst of it and messed with it, she wound up with an Ishmael. Ain't that what happened to Abraham? Mm-hmm. Abraham and Sarah and Hagar got mixed up in it. Amen? And Abraham was willing to settle for Ishmael when God had Isaac for him down the road. Amen? You see where God's bringing him to? He's bringing us to the place where we need to rely on him. We need to depend on him. We need to trust him. And the longer we walk this journey, the longer we're going, the harder it gets sometimes to trust him, because the things get bigger. You know, I mean, let's face it. You don't take a teenager and you don't, we did one time. We trusted ours with a brand new car. Amen. Give him our brand new car. Man, we had a Buick LeSabre, and that sucker was, man, it was nice. It was the bomb in its day. I mean, it was one of the top-rated cars. Everybody wanted a Buick LeSabre, blah, 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 blah. And they were going out to it was a prom or something, wasn't it? Homecoming prom or something. Here, take our car. Yeah. Man, find out, man, they was racing that thing all night. I was at the drag strip one night with a buddy of mine, and seen some snot-nosed little punk roll up in there in his dad's brand-new Lincoln Mark 8. I mean, I bet it still had the stickers in the windows if we'd have looked close enough. I don't know if it had been off the lot long enough for him to get the stickers off of it. Rolled up in the Cecil County drag strip and had it in line. I said, I bet if I knew his daddy's phone number and can call his daddy and send him a picture of this, he would break land speed records getting here to stomp that little dude's butt. Amen. But see, God knows he don't trust us with the great big things all at once. He trusts us with the little things. Abraham, are you willing to go where I tell you to go? Abraham, are you willing to follow me and listen to me? Abraham, are you willing to be obedient? And God keeps bringing him to different places, to better places. He brings him, finally, he's on the plains of Mamre. He's right where God wants him. He's looking out and seeing everything that God has prepared for him. And the next thing, you know what happens? Who shows up? God shows up. Now, not only is he where God wants him to be, not only can he say authoritatively, here I am, he's in the place where God stops by to visit with him. And Abraham says, hold on, don't go. Let me get something for you. Hey, Sarah, fix something for these fellas to eat. And God communes. And God fellowships, and God stays a while. And Abraham thought he'd reached the pinnacle. But he hadn't seen nothing yet. But it was going to take some agonizing. It was going to take some suffering. It was going to take some heavy weight for him to get to the place. Man, I thought this was going to be a real short sermon. But it's good, isn't it? Not because I'm preaching it, but because God is trying to teach us something. He says, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think this place is something? You think the view is something from here? Wait till you see the next place I'm going to take you to. Abraham, I want you to go to Moriah. And Abraham saw the place afar off. And he told the two lads that was with him, y'all stay here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we'll come again. Abraham knew what he was instructed to do. Abraham had agonized over all that God had told him to do, but Abraham chose to trust God. Because didn't God tell him that he was going to multiply his seed? In chapter 12, verses 1 and 3, says, Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and unto the land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee, and in thee all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham knew that from him a great nation was going to be established, and God had done made it clear that it wasn't going to be through Ishmael, that it was going to be through Isaac, and now Abraham has come to the place where he has got to listen to his son. As Isaac says, Father, he says, here am I. Here am I. It's no longer a voice. It's no longer a phrase of authority. It's the phrase of submission. I'm going to listen. I'm here. I'm submitted. I'm surrendered. Here am I. What is it, son? Well, we got the fire. We got the wood. But where's the sacrifice? Abraham, just hold on, son. Just hold on. God will supply himself a lamb. Just hold on. You know what I tell you that are anxious about things? Just hold on. Just hold on. Just wait on God. Young ladies, wait on God. He'll send you the right man. I like it, young man's with you. He listens to me. Nathan. Amen. Just wait on God. What Brother Hank say, stay in the shallow water. Amen. Carly, just wait on God. He's going to send a young man for you. Gracie, just wait on God. He'll send the right young man for you. Bryson, wait on God. He'll send a young lady that will just blow your mind one day. And she'll be the most amazing thing that ever happened to you. But just wait on God. Levi, wait on God. Don't listen to Mom. Wait on God. Amen. Wait on God. Wait on God. Amen. Adam and Pam, wait on God. Amen. Wait on God. Jim and Mary, wait on God. Steve, Sherry, wait on God. Wait on God. Amen. Joe, wait on God. Learn to trust that God is never going to fail you. Father, where's the sacrifice? Where's the lamb? Where's the sacrifice? Don't worry about it, son. Don't worry about it, son. Pastor, why can't Randy get better? Why is God bringing him through all this? I don't know, but just wait on God. Amen. Just wait on God. Pastor, why aren't these things happening? Why isn't things going this way? And why aren't things going that way? Why don't I see this and why don't I see that? I don't know, but just wait on God. Wait on God. Amen. He's not failed me before. When I left Ur of the Chaldees, Amen. He brought me to the place just like he said he was going to do. He didn't fail me. When he brought me into this land, he helped me to find favor in the midst of all those that were about me. And I've learned to just trust in God. Now, I'm on the mountain, and I'm building the altar, and I'm still trusting God. I've done told these young men that me and the lad are going to return. I don't know how God is going to do it. I don't know when God is going to do it. I don't know where God is going to do it, but I'm here right now where he told me to be, and I'm going to trust God. I'm going to trust God. Stop and think about this. Abraham, the Bible says he bound Isaac and he laid him on the altar. And the knife is in his hand and the knife is raised. Man, when I plunge this knife in, what's Sarah going to think? What would Sarah have to say? How would Sarah feel about this? What are the Canaanite and the Amorite and whose land I've been dwelling all these years and who have seen me faithfully serve God and seen what God has done for me? What are they going to think? What would they think if they were here right now? Man, what are all these herdsmen that work for me and know that God has blessed me with this son in my old age? What are they going to think, or what would they think if they were here right now? Who cares? Who cares? This is what God has told me to do. This is the place that God has brought me to. Man, I agonized over that. I bet that night when God told Abraham to take your son, I bet that night he agonized all night. You ever had to agonize over the things we agonize over, the things that are closest to us? Agonized. 3 days he's journeyed and he saw the place and then had to continue the rest of the journey and he's agonized. He's now to the top of the mountain. He's got Isaac on the altar, and he's got the fire ready to light the altar on fire, and he's got the knife raised high above his head. God has brought him to the place of ultimate test and ultimate trying, and he's trying his heart right now. God still tries the hearts of men. And he wants to know if you're willing to trust him. He wants to know if you're willing to surrender to him. He wants to know if you're willing to give everything to him. And as Abraham's about to plunge the knife, he hears the voice, Abraham, Abraham. And again, we hear the reply of submission. Here am I. Here am I. God, I'm right here in the place that you brought me to. I'm here in this place that I've agonized over. I'm here in this place that I really don't want to be. I'm here because you brought me here. Now, God, what is it that you want me to do further? God says, I know your heart. I know your heart. And I know that you're willing to surrender everything to me. But you know what's more important about that statement that God had made? Now Abraham knew in his heart that he was willing to surrender, that God knew that he was willing to give him everything. Now he could say with authority, here I am again. Because he knew that what he had done, he knew that what he was doing, he knew that what was in his heart is what was pleasing unto God. Sometimes we find ourselves in places and find ourselves going to places where we don't want to be. Joseph found himself in the place of being able to be a deliverer to God's people. But he had to go through some hard places to get there. Amen. Paul and Silas found themselves in some places that they really didn't want to go to and didn't want to be in. But they found some deliverance. And they found some purpose in being there. Paul said, I'm not a prisoner of the Romans or any of the rest of this bunch. He said, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I'm here because this is where God wants me. This is where God's going to use me. And God used the Apostle Paul to pen the majority of what we have as the New Testament, to give us some of the greatest doctrinal teaching that we have to go back to. But he was willing to be in the place where God wanted him to be. He was willing to agonize and to suffer for what God wanted to use him for. And that's what God wants us to do. And that's what God wants us to know. That if we're willing to be in the place where he wants us to be, all he'll do more than what we ever dreamed that he was able to do. Abraham looked and found the ram. See, God had already provided. God had already made provision. I heard Joe Arthur preach a message one time, said, when Abraham started up the mountain this way, God sent the ram up the mountain this way. Amen. God had already provided. God had already made provision. And God has already made provision for your life. God has already made provision for those things that you're agonizing over, those decisions that you're trying to make. But if you'll find yourself in the place where God wants you to be, if you'll find yourself willing to surrender and do what God wants you to do, you'll be able to say, like Abraham did when he named this place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will supply. At any place in your life that God brings you to, God has supplied. Sister Joanne, since God took Jamie home, hasn't he always supplied? Amen. Amen. My wife loved her mama dearly. God took her home. But God has always supplied. She loved her daddy and her little sister, but God took them home early. But God always supplied. Brother Adam told me the other night, it'd been 10 years, don't seem like it, since his dad was taken away. But God has always supplied. God has always provided. We'll find it when we're willing to trust God. We're willing to follow him wherever he will lead us. We're willing to go to the place that he takes us to, that he'll always meet the need. And the need's already met before you get there. It's just that in the journey, you've got to agonize about it along the way. In the journey, you've got to question yourself. And you got to think within yourself and to frame within your heart and your mind the decisions that you're going to make when you get there. We're all in a place. But maybe we're not in the right place. We're not in the place where God wants us tonight. And as we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed.